Within the Simulation, The Search for the Creator, Chapter 2, Heaven on Earth. Fatima returns to the cafe a couple of days later. The door chimes as she enters, the familiar ambience of the cafe in the background. As she comes into the eatery, she spots Trace sitting alone at a table, typing at his laptop. She hesitates a moment, then approaches with a casual smile. She's surprised and intrigued. "Fancy finding you here again." And Trey says, "Oh, I live here. You didn't know that?" He deadpans, then breaks into a grin. "Oh, it's probably just a coincidence." And Fatima, half serious, says, "Or perhaps the universe conspiring." Trey says, "And possibly it could just be that the location is perfect for both of us, and the coffee is even better." Fatima smiles, her eyes closing slightly, then quickly moves from the chit-chat to bigger issues. "You know something? You asked a lot of interesting questions the other day, and they had me thinking." Trey looks up from his computer, surprised but pleased by her reaction. He's always enjoyed exploring these ideas, but it's rare to find someone who takes him seriously. He smiles with a hint of relief. "Oh, I didn't bore you or leave you pondering too much? I have that effect on people, and it oftentimes will drive them away. I need a filter, I think." "No," she says, taking a seat across from him. "Actually, you didn't bore me at all. But I have to ask you," she leans in, "do you have any experience with, like, quantum computers or artificial intelligence or even working with simulation theory?" Trey hesitates a second, then decides to be a little more open than usual. He leans in, his voice lower and more earnest. His gaze grows distant, thoughtful, sincere. "No, not really. I'm just a businessman. I use algorithms and AI for marketing strategies. You know, when to hit the right ads to the right people at the right time, and predicting trends to make the right moves in the market. But I've always felt there's something more, something deeper than just the practical applications of this all." He then pauses, takes a sip of coffee, and notices the genuine interest in Fatima's eyes. For once, he doesn't feel like he has to hold back his thoughts or even hide them. Trey continues almost cautiously. "Now, most people think I'm a bit odd for wondering about this stuff, like I'm looking for ghosts in the machine, as they say, but you're different. You actually seem interested." Fatima's expression softens. She's not used to people seeing her as anything more than a pretty face or perhaps even her intellect. She says with a gentle smile, "Well, I'm a physicist. I can't help it. And I'm always looking beyond the obvious, and even the intellectual obvious. And you've got me thinking. So what do you mean by something deeper? Something deeper for you?" The casual, intelligent novice that Trey is relaxes a bit. He feels encouraged. Leaning forward with a hint of excitement in his voice, he says, "It's just like we've created these tools, this artificial intelligence. But what if we're just scratching the surface? What if they could start to change us, redefine what we think of reality? I mean, have you heard of digital dementia?" He quickly scrolls through his computer and finds an article, reading aloud a key point. It says here, "Digital dementia is the deterioration of cognitive abilities due to over-reliance on digital devices, forgetting information, losing the ability to focus, and experiencing a short-term memory decline, something like the symptoms associated with dementia." Fatima listens intrigued. She's seen the effects of technology, but has rarely met someone outside her field who's willing to dive so deeply into its implications. And so, reflective with a newfound respect, she asks, "So you're just not asking out of idle curiosity?" And he says, "Exactly. It's rare to find someone who doesn't laugh at these questions and who doesn't just brush them off as weird. The cafe buzzes around them, but they're locked into each other's words, the world surrounding them fading as their conversation deepens. For Trey, it's refreshing to meet someone who engages with his ideas beyond their practical use. And for Fatima, it's rare to find anyone so curious and willing to explore without a predefined agenda. As they talk, they realize they are more alike than they could ever think, drawn to the edges of what is known and what could be. And then Trey quickly corrects himself, saying, well, here's another article about digital dementia. It's a theory that artificial intelligence could evolve beyond its own programming, creating illusions, layers of reality. So I guess while we grow a little senile, it starts to create different worlds for us. Fatima shakes a finger at him, skeptical but intrigued. It sounds so far-fetched, but it also feels to me so real, like it's watching us something, not the other way around. Meanwhile, Timmy, the auto mechanic sitting a few seats away, has overheard them, and he looks over with a playful grin and politely says, well, maybe it's just something to keep you entertained while this whole life passes by. And there's laughter amongst the three of them, but also attention in the air. Timmy gets up and says, well, I myself have dinner waiting at home. And this cup of coffee after a long day, it just hit the spot. Timmy's departure has both of them thinking about a lack of a dinner table and really no one to go home to tonight. Within the quiet corner of the cafe, Trey and Fatima continue to talk, their expressions a mix of curiosity and guardedness. And Fatima, gently probing with a soft smile, says, well, you seem like someone who thinks a lot about what the universe might be up to. I'd imagine you'd have a significant other, a partner that you could share that with, no? And Trey's face darkens slightly, a small frown appearing, a hint of something deeper in his tone. Well, there was someone once, but it seems like I was disqualified. I was, well, not successful enough. So I've been too busy trying to make a good living, caught up in the business of it all. And you know, once you're on the fast track, it's really hard to get off and smell the flowers. And that would mean, I guess, meeting someone and having a dinner like that fellow who spoke to us just now. And Fatima nods, well, I understand that. I'm a bit of a maverick in my field. It means I have to write more, 10 more symposiums, but it keeps me busy. And yes, I had the perfectly good husband and father, and then one day he just left. Fatima pauses, her eyes softening, shifting from probing to understanding. But I'm not here to tell you my life story, nor am I here to pry into yours. A moment of silence follows, both of them lost in thought, revealing just enough of their past to set a tone of shared understanding and a deeper connection. While Trey and Fatima navigate their own path, seeking answers in the vast, complex world of theories and life questions, not everyone's journey looks the same. For some, like Timmy, the auto mechanic, fulfillment is found not in the search for answers, but in the quiet certainties of daily life. He has a different kind of peace that is found in simple things like a home-cooked meal, a loving family, and the familiar comfort of routine. Later, at his home, there is a sound of clinking cutlery, a chair creaking as it's pulled out, and the faint murmur of a radio playing in the background. The ambiance is warm and domestic, filled with the scent of a home-cooked meal. Timmy sits at the head of a small, well-worn dinner table. His face is rugged with the kind of lines that come from years of honest work. His curly hair, now graying at the temples, hints at his age, somewhere in his mid-40s. He's got a bit of a paunch developing, the natural result of years of hearty meals and less time under the car hood. But he wears his extra weight with an ease that suggests he isn't bothered by it. And his hands, rough and grease-stained from a day in the shop, still manage to handle the fork with care. Across from him, his wife, May, moves with a quiet grace as she sets down a casserole dish. She has dark hair that falls in soft waves, framing a face that radiates a deep, genuine kindness. Her skin is warm, beige, her eyes soft and brown, always filled with concern and love for her family. She's a woman whose beauty has never been about looks, but about the warmth she brings to the lives of those around her, in this case, Timmy and their little boy. Timmy looks up from his plate after several minutes. "You know, May, every time you make this casserole, I swear it tastes better than the last time." May laughs softly, shaking her head, her eyes crinkling at the corners with a joy that comes from years of a shared life. "Well, maybe it's just you getting older, Tim. Your taste buds are finally catching up to me." They each chuckle at this, their easy camaraderie filling the small room with quiet contentment. Timmy reaches across the table, placing his hand over hers, a simple gesture that speaks of years of shared understanding and love. And somewhere beyond the awareness and concerns of Trey and Fatima in the coffee shop, Timmy and his wife, May, at home, the gamekeeper watches. A figure who navigates a world that could very well be reality itself. A reality, or perhaps something more. Designed, controlled, with rules waiting to be broken, or truths waiting to be uncovered. The gamekeeper is mysterious, a presence barely visible in the dim light of the room. The other is Lance, the administrator, identifiable by his distinct beret and sharp gaze. The gamekeeper is a tall, lean figure with piercing eyes that seem to look through people and not at them. His sharp features and a slight mysterious hint of a smile blur the line between reality and illusion. Lance, by contrast, is a solidly built man with a square jaw and keen, observant eyes. His short-cropped hair and efficient movements convey a disciplined demeanor, always poised as the gamekeeper's watchful right hand. He addresses his superior.
"They are getting too close. You told me the boundaries were secure."
And the gamekeeper, calm, almost amused, says, "Well, boundaries are only as strong as the will to respect them, Lance. And we all know that the human spirit is always searching." Lance is frustrated.
"Then perhaps it's time we gave them a stronger reason to stop looking."
The gamekeeper smiles slightly, a knowing grin. "Well, not yet. Let them dance a little longer. They think they're finding answers, but all they're really doing is spinning in circles." Lance asks,
"And what about this Timmy?"
"Well, he's playing a part too," the gamekeeper says, "even if he doesn't know it." The gamekeeper presses a button, and the screens flicker in front of him, displaying live footage of Trey, Fatima, Timmy, and his wife May in various locations. For the four characters, the game is deeper than they ever imagined, and the players have just begun to understand the rules. The gamekeeper then returns to one of Lance's points.
"Well, there are boundaries, but are they but lines in the sand? And who draws those boundaries in the first place?"
Lance is firm, trying to regain control. "Boundaries are only strong as the will to respect them, gamekeeper, and your will seems to be faltering." And the gamekeeper, suddenly alert, says,
"Faltering or waking up? What if I am both the dreamer and the dream that I dream?"
Lance frowns, sensing the shift.
"Well, don't start down that path. Your role is to manage game, not to question it."
And the gamekeeper says with a slight smile, "Manage or learn from it. Maybe I'm more than just the keeper. Maybe I'm also supposed to remember."
And Lance, ever firm, says, "Just keep them from finding out. That is all that matters."
And the gamekeeper nods. Well, that's true. Keep them from finding out until I find out what I am.
What I am.
And who I am.
Who I am.
Lance swears he heard Timmy whispering alongside the gamekeeper before the screens go silent.
Power indeed brings paranoia. Meanwhile, Trey and Fatima's conversations deepen at the coffee shop, their minds churning over the possibilities of simulations, matrix theories, and the terrifying prospect of AI gaining self-awareness and control. Timmy, the mechanic, lives his simple yet contented life, unaware of the monumental complexities surrounding him. But at the highest level of control, within the realm of base reality, the gamekeeper and his ally Lance are consumed by the weight of their responsibilities, managing the simulation upon which all existence depends. As the two grapple with their responsibilities and their secrets, they wonder if they'll be discovered by the likes of Trey, Fatima, Timmy, and Aravi. The saying, it is lonely at the top, becomes a gross understatement. For the gamekeeper, the isolation of authority is far less daunting than the precariousness of holding an entire reality together, knowing that his every decision could unravel the fragile threads of existence itself.